Hug, Sakote, Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear. And as I as well wish the body of Christ a Hug, Sakote, Sameach, which means, in essence, have a joyous feast of tabernacles. Since this is that season of joy until Thursday at sundown, and tonight we are going to continue to look at this feast, particularly at some elaborate ceremonies that really does point to Jesus and also the body of Christ. Although the Jews weren't aware at the time, but we as true believers, we recognize it very easily. And we actually want to share some of those gold nuggets with you tonight.
But first, let's ask God to bless our time together tonight.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your Son who has saved us from the penalty of sin. We highly praise you as we lift up to your throne these particular prayer requests recently given to us, especially those with rare diseases and all forms of cancers currently afflicting those who are called by your name and are listening right now. We ask for divine protection over our children and grandchildren as we stand firm against demonic forces who bombarded our loved ones' minds with wicked pleasures, drugs, and alcohol. We ask for favor in our finances, and may you keep all our burdens light. And as the powers of darkness encompass the world, may we all be reminded that the darker the night, the brighter the light. May we not disappoint you, Father God. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is celebrated in remembrance of how God took care of all their needs in the wilderness after escaping Egypt. And we read in Zechariah 14 that it's this one festival that will still be observed in the Messianic Kingdom. Also, one of their many traditional prayerful exclamations is,
"Blessed art thou, Lord God, King of the universe, who provides for me all our needs."
I love that. "Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all our needs." It's personal. And if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you too can claim that promise.
For he's our Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
And that's what Tabernacles is all about.
Mm-hmm.
His complete provisions for his own. And the Hebrews understood that immensely during their extended time in the wilderness.
The sukkah they are commanded to build by God in Leviticus 23 is a memorial of that time.
That's right. So this is our fifth week of teaching on the feast, with the conclusion next week. So there's just so much to say about God's fall appointments, especially this last one surrounding the great harvest.
You know, and we've covered a lot starting all the way back in August with Teshuvah.
Yes, that 40-day season of repentance. Then God's new year called Rosh Hashanah. We examined the culmination of Teshuvah called the Days of Awe and showed how it was a type or picture of the tribulation, focusing on repentance. Then Yom Kippur, also called the Day of Atonement, and the details of how it will be fulfilled. Then last week we began teaching on the seventh and greatest of all feasts called the Tabernacles, or Sukkot, and goes by a lot of other names as well.
Yeah, like the Season of Joy, which began on Tishri 15, and we know that's Jesus' real birthday. And if you're new to our program, you can learn all about this, still free, on our webpage, shofarministries.net. You know, what about all those wildfires that quickly sprung up in California?
Yes, many injuries with thousands of homes completely burned, devastating the wineries. And they are not sure how it actually started, but there was no lightning. So foul play is suspected, and these high winds have carried the sparks into many areas.
What's the latest on the Vegas shootings?
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Mm-hmm. Two many unanswered questions, and the media just won't seem to address it. But remember this, there is an evil shadow government that knows what really happened, and we'll probably never know the whole truth. But anyone who looks at this carefully suspects he could not have acted alone, and in fact, many don't believe he did any of the shooting at all.
Yeah, this whole thing just really stinks.
Yes. He was probably set up.
A patsy, like in the JFK assassination.
Yeah, well, you know, there were witnesses that said they saw flashes of light matching the sounds of the gunfire, and it was coming from the area of the fourth floor. And then there was that anonymous woman that stood at front of the stage and yelled out for everyone to leave, that they were all going to die.
Yeah, and that was about a half an hour before it all started.
So obviously others knew something. And just the fact that he doesn't fit the profile at all. And he had many allergies, I found out. His girlfriend said that she could never even wear any fragrances at all.
So, you know, I'm not sure he could, probably couldn't handle a smoke-filled room.
Absolutely not. So, and why didn't the sensor alarms go off on the windows like they were supposed to? And now there are pictures of more window panes completely missing from the east side of the building, and again, much lower.
And weren't there previous advertising for actors in L.A. paying $15 to $30 an hour?
Yes. So some could have been acting to raise the numbers of injuries and deaths. It's just a sad time. And again, keep in mind Ephesians 6. And that really does help to make some sense of what is occurring. And it's not over by any means. But I believe greed plays a huge part in all of this. And, you know, like many say, I'd like to say it too, follow the money.
Yeah, you mean who benefits the most from these kinds of attacks?
That's right.
The security companies.
Yes. Who actually need these kinds of tragedies to sell more security. And, they'll provide everything you need, security officers, high-tech cameras, metal detectors, special sensors, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, if you're in the stock market that is thriving right now, mm-hmm. this would be a good area to buy into.
There you go. And, by the way, the elitists absolutely do, especially a former, very famous former, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, who owns, has these stocks, and sits on the boards of many security companies. He, along with his friends, make billions of dollars, especially when a crisis just happens to conveniently occur. Remember the Uniwear? Underwear. The underwear bomber.
Yeah, of course.
Well, soon after that is when they rolled out the naked body scanners promoted by Michael Chertoff and manufactured by Rapiscan, one of his affiliate security companies. And by the way, body scanners adds even more radiation to the already vast amounts that we get through so many other means like our phones, cell towers, chemtrails, etc., etc.
Which means more sick people.
And then more money paid out to pharmaceuticals and healthcare.
Yep.
Not to mention contributing to the globalist goal of lowering the population, as they have done through abortion and many wars, again, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Also, you know, we've had a few chemtrails questioning whether we think we will be in a war with North Korea.
Chemtrails or emails?
That's a good one. Emails.
I know.
Emails.
Yes.
I apologize.
I do not actually believe we're going to be in a war with North Korea. There's just too many Americans in South Korea.
Yeah, like there's 28,000 military.
And their wives and children.
Yeah, it's estimated another 230,000.
And all the innocent Koreans on both sides. I don't see it happening unless Korea really strikes first, and I kind of doubt that. Unless the shadow government decides to fake a false flag event, which they are very good at.
Yes, they are.
Oh, and then, of course, there's even Japan right next door, and they have about 40,000 military. And I haven't seen Trump calling anybody home yet.
Yeah, that's 40,000 of our military. Mm-hmm. But isn't the USS Ronald Reagan on its way to the peninsula?
Well, it is, but that's been set up, you know, a year ago to make that voyage. We would really need a few more aircraft carriers in that area anyway before a war could break out. If there is going to be any substantial war, in my opinion, it just might be in Syria. And Israel would play a major role in that because Netanyahu is very disturbed at Iran's proxy armies stationed on its Golan border.
All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering. It really helps our expenses and keep us on the air. They're much needed right now and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, then. Thank you, dear. It was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23, that the Hebrews dwell in a sukkah, or a booth, same thing, for 7 days, with also enjoying an extra two Sabbaths on the first day and also on the eighth day of the feast. Now, one of the ceremonies performed during this Feast of Joy is called the Waving of the Lulav, where each celebrant brought a fruit called an etrog, which is comparable to a lemon but bigger and sweeter, and that would serve as the fruit of the goodly trees demanded very specifically by God in verse 40, as was the branches. And that would be of a palm, a myrtle, and a willow. The three branches would be held in the right hand with the etrog held upside down in the left. Then they join both hands, turning the etrog upright, and begin waving the entire lulav in six directions.
And that'd be north, south, east, and west, and up and down.
Yes. And here we see how spiritually it represents a union. For after a person is turned right side up to God, then they would unite with Israel, represented by the branches. And anyone could serve the one true God and join in with Israel. So we can see how this lulav ceremony has even a greater meaning for believers in Yeshua. Because the etrog fruit represents us. When as a believer should, as referenced in God's word, join themselves to Israel to produce even a sweeter fruit. And there are some more very unique characteristics about the different components of the lulav. Again, each specifically ordered by God, and for good reason, because the date palm, well, it has no fragrance, but it does have fruit. The myrtle has no fruit, but it does have fragrance. And the willow has no fruit or fragrance, but has the sound of the wind as it blows in the breeze. You know, the righteous are a diverse group with different attributes and different gifts. So this is a great picture of the body of Christ. But there's still another lesson to glean from this. Each item was found in diverse places as well. The willows found in the brook, the myrtle in the mountains, the date palms in the valleys, and the citron, or the etrog, in the fertile valleys of the lower lands. So, the body of Christ is open to all walks of life from all over the world. just more great typology. Another ceremony is called the House of the Water Pouring. Now, this is where priests would cut 25 feet long willow branches and align themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows, approximately 30 feet apart. Now, when signaled, they each step forward on the right foot while swinging the branches to the left in unison. As they step forward on the left foot, the branches would swing to the right. Thus, they proceeded toward the city of Jerusalem. So, what do you think that sounded like? Yeah, a rushing wind approaching the temple. Meanwhile, the high priest and his assistant had retrieved a golden vessel of water, known as the Mayim Hayim, or living water, from the pool of Siloam. Now, do you remember when Jesus put clay on the eyes of the man who was blind from birth and then told him to wash it off in the pool of Siloam? So it's a famous pool, and you can read about that in John 9. Then his assistant priest would carry a silver vessel full of red wine. You're going to see a great picture here in a minute. So as the priests with the willows approached the temple, they met up with the group from the Pool of Siloam, and when a trumpet was blown, a single flute began to play, who was called the Pierced One, who would then lead the procession as the wind and the water also entered the temple. Our Pierced One will one day lead us all his righteous, into his new messianic kingdom. So again, just loads of great typology here. Okay, but there's more. Then as well, other priests would lay the sacrifices on the fire of the altar and would then circle the altar one time, except on the last day. Then they would do it seven times. This day was called Hoshanah Rabbah, which means the great salvation. And then they would lay willow branches against the base of the altar, forming a sukkah. After that, the high priest and his assistant ascended the altar from the east, pouring out the water with the wine over the altar. Okay, so they would pour out the water with the wine over the altar at the same time. Of course, this pictures Jesus' side being pierced with the sword when blood mixed with water spilled out on the altar of the cross. Then, and this is truly thought-provoking here, they would actually sing Isaiah 12:3. And that says, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Do you know what the Hebrew word for salvation is? Yes, it's Yeshua. So they were singing, let us draw water from Yeshua. This is just so amazing to me. And they didn't even realize it. And it also was during this ceremony, again on the seventh day, called Hoshanah Rabbah. And we see this in verse 37 of John chapter 7. We see Jesus proclaiming by saying that if any man thirsts, let them come to me and drink. So he picked an appropriate time to do that, which he did in everything. And again, I want to repeat, according to Zechariah 14:16, this is the one feast that everyone in the millennial kingdom will celebrate in Jerusalem. Or it says they will receive no rain. It also goes by other idiomatic phrases like Feast of All Nations. Why? Because it's for all people, especially during the Millennial Kingdom. It's also called the Feast of Dedication. Why? Because Solomon dedicated his temple on this feast. It's also called the Feast of Lights, when Jesus was born. Well, that makes sense. for he is the light of the world. And we covered that in detail last week, which, by the way, is on our webpage if you missed it. And it's also called the Feast of Ingathering, in that all the harvest would be gathered in as a type of his righteous sheep. In Matthew 25, you know, the separation of the sheep from the goats. And it's also in the parable of Matthew 13 of the separation between the wheat and the tares. And the tares are thrown in the fire. That is a perfect example of what will happen at the end when the sheep is separated from the goats and the unrighteous, which are the goats, are thrown into the fire. And, of course, we know this all takes place in the fall. Then Jesus will set up his kingdom on earth from Jerusalem and will tabernacle physically with us again, but this time as our king. This is the feast that will usher in the millennial kingdom. And it's going to be also our marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19. So, of course, it's going to be in the glorious, happiest season of all, called the Season of Joy, celebrated yearly in total remembrance of what he has done for us. And, oh my, he's done so much. When you're going through something hard or tough, please remember what he's done for us. And get out of your self-pity and keep remembering the joy of the Lord. You know, there is so much connected to this festival. And we're actually going to do this some more next week. And we'll finish it up by explaining in full the day called Simchat Torah. And the other eighth day called Shemini Atzeret. So the eighth day goes by Simchat Torah and Shemini Atzeret. But know this right now. You must be sure that Jesus is Lord over your life. That is, if you want to be part of the future kingdom. This future kingdom, again, is represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's this week. This week is the most joyous time of the year. So remember that, because time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And of course, how can you be sure? Well, you will have a desire to know him more by joining in with the Hebrew roots of your faith. And then you'll have a passion to be in his word, in his presence, our Bible, because Jesus is the word. So, more word, more Bible means you'll have more of Jesus. It's just that simple. We just got to do it. Set aside specific time when you're going to do it. Again, the traditional prayer during tabernacles is, Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing now. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace that passes all understanding, that shalom. So, till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for your country. Pray for your president. And those who love Jerusalem, well, they're going to prosper. Spiritually, especially. And you can read that in Psalm 122, verse 6. So tune in next week. Tell your friends. This is a great time of the year. Enjoy. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.